And welcome back to another episode of the DFL Swimming Podcast. Des and I are absolutely thrilled to be back with everyone tonight for a recap and preview for this coming week at Big Tens. We got some big swims, big takeaways from last week at SECs and ACCs. We got some question marks being raised with Ruard Van Rennen getting a little physical with Josh Liendo on the lane line at the end of the 4-3 relay. Was Bella Sims the key to Michigan finally breaking through this year to a Big Ten title? We got some teams sandbagging out there. And closing it up, we got some Big Tens, Big 12s, and Ivy League previews for you. So we got a good episode cooked up. A lot of fast swimming last week. Some conference championships crowned. Des, what did you think of the whole of last week?
It was good. It was a lot of fast swimming. It was fun to watch all that swimming, right? Like I don't know about you, Casey, but I had, you know, SECs on my TV, ACCs on my computer. I had Big Tens on my phone. I was just like panning back and forth the whole time, but there's a lot of fast swimming. It looks like there's going to be a lot of fun going on at NCAAs. Just excited about it. How about you?
Yeah, it was a good week. I always feel like we talked about last week, but it's hard not to get a little giddy this time of year as, you know, the times start to roll in from the early conference meets. And so, yeah, I was glued to my phone, watching swims, watching results roll in. So overall, it was a good week. And hey, we get another one right back at us this week with Bigs and Big 12. So, it's good stuff. So let's get straight into it here. Kick off with SECs, what were the standouts for you at the SEC meet?
Liendo looks really good. Was kind of my biggest takeaway. Texas looked really solid on both sides. I thought they just had a lot of depth. It seemed like that their top speed, at least on the men's side, looks like they're saving it a little bit for NCAAs. Jerry Hribar was really fast. I don't know. Florida, which we talked about earlier, there was kind of a big gap in Florida with their breaststroke, and Cohen DeGroote really showed up. I don't know. It makes me really excited for NCAAs, especially Florida. I think they outperformed kind of what we thought they were going to do, at least me specifically.
Well, I think Florida was one of those teams on the men's side, at least, that we had some question marks with some of their guys. You know, Scotty Buff, that breaststroke hole that was there. And I think they really answered a lot of those questions. I thought Scotty Buff looked great at SEC, is like you just mentioned, Cohen DeGroote really was the perfect answer for what they needed to fill that breaststroke hole, being, you know, 22 high, 50 point low in the 100. I mean, Florida really called a statement of intent on night one, going 120.0 in the 2-med relay. They were showing the folks that they were back to play this year in the relays. So we didn't see it maybe across all the relays, but I was shocked personally with that swim. Liendo going 17.5. It was that's how you do it. Answer the haters and show what's happening down in Gainesville. So on the women's side, Camille Spink, another great win, another great meet. Winning three events. Mm-hmm. You had Jillian Cox doubling up in the 500 and the mile, and Anita Batazzo doubling up in the 100 and 200 breasts, just to name a few.
I mean, Camille Spink went under 21, which was crazy fast, 20.87, fastest swim in the NCAAs by a good amount. I don't think anyone else has been under 21, so she looks really good.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the Tennessee women, They looked great. I think obviously Texas women did still run away with the meet, and that's kind of leading into some of the takeaways that we had from this meet. But I thought that the Tennessee women looked good. And when you have Camille on having the meet type of meet that she was, that really bolstered the relays for them and put them in the fight there. So
yeah, I mean, Florida women won the 8-foot relay and 400-foot relay, but I think that was it, right? Like, they looked really good. They have so much depth individually. I just don't think that their relays are quite where probably where they want to be, at least on the sprint side.
Yep. And I think they're still looking, kind of like with the questions we had for the men's side, I think they're still just looking for the final pieces, those just elite splits. Like the men do have top to bottom. So
Yeah.
let's talk elephant in the room. We kind of knew it was coming, but Texas running away basically with the meet on both sides. Men ended up scoring a hun almost 150 or 1450 points, basically with a 150-ish point delta to Florida in second, and then another 150, 200 points down to Tennessee in third. On the women's side, we saw Texas women with 1413 points, Tennessee women 1086, and the Florida women with 1015. So Texas women winning in even more dominant fashion. Did any of this surprise you, Des?
Yeah, I actually thought that the men's side was going to be a little bit more spread out point wise, and the women's side was going to be a little bit closer, but it was quite the opposite. I thought Tennessee was going to hold close to Texas, especially because I knew that they probably had those relays in the bag, the 200, 400 med, 200, 400 free. But Texas got that 400 free relay. I think that was huge. And I thought just relays alone that they'd be able to hold on, but the depth of Texas and the Texas women, and specifically strokes and IM, which we all know is their specialty on both the men's and women's side, really helped them pull away. And I think similar on the men's side too. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so, and I'm just was going back and reviewing some of the predictions that we made in the previous episode, and I think on the women's side we were right on there in terms of predictions. When I look over to the men's side, UGA really stands out to a team as a team, both of which we had in the top three, with Des put him in the two hole. big Bulldogs, man. And hey, hindsight's 2020 now, that looks like a questionable pick at best. But at the time, I thought, with the names and the performances that we had seen from this Georgia team, I thought they were very much, in the picture to make a run at the top three, and they ended up being 300 or more than 300 points shy of cracking the podium. So that was one to me where things just didn't really seem to be firing on all cylinders. Luca being able to get the win in the 200 fly, but couldn't really make a run at the 200 IM, couldn't really make a run at the 100 fly there. Thomas Koski looked a little something to be desired there. So I think they're maybe a team that I see needs to really find some rest for these guys, or some performance in the next few weeks as you look towards NCAAs. Are
And
there names or performances I'm missing there? Or?
I mean, you look at the results from Georgia specifically. I remember watching the meet and I was like, wow, like Ruard looks very, very hairy right now. Like that dude had a full beard going on. So I wonder if, they got more in the tank for NCAAs. If it comes NCAAs and they end up beating a team like Tennessee, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me. But some other big swims.
Leave it to Dez to be focused on college swimmers' body hair.
Hey,
May I
I was a
mention
hairy
it?
guy myself. It's something you notice, right? Like a lot of teams end up shaving for SECs, but it seemed like a lot of their big swimmers didn't. We mentioned Jerry Hribar. You mentioned that Leando went 17.5. Jerry Hribar also went 17.5, 17.6 in the 200 medley relay. LSU, I slept on them. They looked really good.
They looked really good. They just ran into a little bit of issues. I think they ended up DQing a relay. But yeah, Jerry Hribar ended up winning the 100 free in 40.4, which was a big step forward, I would even say. And not only that, beating Gee and Josh Leando in that race is That's big time. Those are some big,
Yeah.
those are the big dogs. So that was, I thought was a personal highlight of the meet, was not only swimming a ridiculous time, but being able to beat both of those guys who are, I mean, Liendo especially having the clutch gene,
And then, I
and just
mean,
ice in his veins.
Kentucky going 121 two medley was not on my bucket list. With four dudes who there's no way in hell they're from the US. Lizander Osman, Odemus Gatoulis, Javier Lopez Guillen, and Philomena Tufoi. Anchoring with 18-1 and starting the relay off with 20.2 puts you in a really good position and ends up finishing you in a really great position. So that was a big surprise for me as well.
And real fans and listeners of the podcast will know that Dez, throughout the podcast, Dez and Kentucky Swim and Dive had their ups and downs. You know, it's really just a love story, a hate story. I don't know what to call it, but I think Kentucky, they come out on top now at SECs and dropped an absolute nuke on night one of a two-med relay.
Yes.
And yeah, I
That's
was
good for
personally
team two,
shocked.
where like I remember in the past they went like 127 in the 200 medley relay, like a couple of years ago even. So that's a very, very large difference.
Yeah, no, that's, I imagine maybe wasn't shocking from the Kentucky camp. They knew what they had in the tank there, but I think for everyone outside, I mean, what they went basically, I think, wins Big Tens as of tonight. The results that we saw come in, you go 120. I mean, we only saw Michigan go 121, and that was the winning time. So for them to be putting, that's, if they can repeat, that's a All American top eight relay just about at SEC or at NC. So
I think Florida distance looks really good. The Ahmed squared look like they're going to have a really good NCAAs. Also Rex Maurer. Rex Maurer was absolutely lights out for I think where
really,
we're at in the season. I
I
think he has
actually.
solid meet. I think that like he's setting himself up for a really, really good NCAAs,
I
and he dominated the 500 free. I think he won by
what did he
over a
go? He was like
second.
407,
408.
Des.
408. I think that's really good for right now. Do you really think that Bob Bowman has him like fully rested and shaven for SECs?
No, I don't, but I'm thinking, I don't know. I have to go back and look at how things went last year, but I know for a fact last year at midseason, Rex had already been, he was 404, I think.
Yes, and I think that was
And
his breakout swim that probably no one was expecting. And I think Bob, after that, kind of had a different outlook on how to train him. Like he went slower at NCAAs.
yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from there, and maybe I will be proved wrong, but I just think personally, I haven't seen anything out of Rext this year showing me that he took another step forward significant to where he was last year. I think someone like Camden Taylor out of Texas did show that step in this meet, producing some very big swims. I think going to be 130 on their eight free relay, just to name one. On the rec side of things, I think he's not going to be bad at NCs. He was 335, I think, in the 4IM, 334. I just think I don't see, I haven't seen anything this year to lead me to believe, you know, is he going to go 400 in the five free, or, and that's okay. He's going to be an event winner or top three, but I don't know. He's just not doing it for me.
Not to mention another kind of standout that I thought as well was Rafael
Fent
Vente
Dahmers.
Dahmers on Texas, also a 130 point in their 800 free relay. And individually, I want to say, let me check, 131, 132.
Yeah, he
Big
was
drop for him,
definitely someone
131.
really, really talented in the long course pool. So I'm sure they were hoping that was in there. To see it pan out is a big thing. I think a name that we mentioned previously, the Kasari Maziuk from Poland, actually didn't look great at this meet. I actually he's gonna have might have some work to do just to get to the NCAA meet. So that's one to watch. But Trying to think on the men's side if there was any other swims that I saw that were, knock your socks off. On the women's side, was there anything? I mean, obviously we mentioned Camille
Kaylee
Spink,
Pops
Campbell.
looked good.
Yep, Campbell
I
Stoll
think
looked
Jordan
good.
Pops will still look good.
So Kennedy Dobson, another good meet for her. 430.7, just keeps chipping away at that 5.3, looking for sub 430, I would imagine, coming up soon. But I think that about caps it off for the SEC meet. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else there.
One thing we didn't quite touch on, and we had some conversation offline, was Hubert Koch doing the 200 back, 200 IM double on day four. It will be at NCAAs. Do you think he fought? He did it here at SEC. Is 200 back, 200 IM. Will he follow that up at NCAAs? You think does?
I don't know. He won the 200 IM. He did not win the 200 back. But if you look last year, he also didn't win the 200 back at SECs last year either. So like, that's not necessarily unexpected. Johnny Marshall repeat the
This is
GOAT.
Daddy.
But I don't know. You mentioned he swam the 400 IM at a first chance meet not terribly long ago. So that's a possibility that he swims that instead of the 200 IM. I assume he's going to swim the 200 back either way. I mean, if you were Bob Bowman, what are you doing? Right? Like, you probably have more time at SECs than NCAAs in between events.
Yeah, and I was more on the side of if you're really that guy, you could do the double and get it done. I think to say that and it's risky, especially when you have a Johnny Marshall in the 200 back, or I mean Baylor Nelson in the 200 IM breathing down your neck, but he could do the 4 IM and probably top three, but he's gonna have the same issues there. I think his probably his best chance to double up and win both of them. He has a better chance to double up and win both the 200 IM and the 200 back than winning the 400 IM, in my opinion. So I think you do the double.
I just don't
You
know if I
chewing on a squeaky toy
necessarily.
over there, Des?
Yeah,
Is that you?
that's me. My dog's being a menace. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I don't know. I have a hard time believing he's going to win both. And I think the 4 IM gives him a better chance of guaranteeing a win in that 200 backstroke. Like, he could go 132, and I would not be surprised in the 200 backstroke, right? If he swims the 200 IM and then the 200 back, like, there's a lot less rest in between the events at NCAAs. You don't have the woman, right? There's no B finals anymore. Like, this is going to be a very, very short meet. He might only have 20 minutes. Like, is that worth it? Especially considering he's probably going to be in the 400 free relay too. That's 800, that's 900 yards in a day. Like, that's a lot of racing.
I'm personally convinced that Hubert Koch doesn't produce lactic acid, and so with that in mind, he will do the double, and he won't necessarily win both, but he'll for sure win one, in my opinion. I throw it back to former GOAT of the Big Ten, Brendan Burns, who produced he only could produce the double at Big Tens ever, but he did accomplish the double. How do you re-put your name in the history books of saying
Hey,
you did the double at NC's, baby?
he did the double at NC's 1 year.
He did? Well, I mean,
His fifth
obviously
year.
he. Okay.
My last year, he did the double at NC's, and it was the one first year in 3 years he didn't win an event, I think, on that last day.
Yeah,
He
no,
struggled. I
it's
remember I think
lethal.
his
It's
finals
lethal.
two fly was rough.
Yeah. Something that as we move through and we talk about SECs and ACCs being just ridiculously deep conferences, and I'll be interested to see as we move through, kind of, just seeing some of the full conference results pour in, is any shift in depth that we see within any events. I felt like I started to see it a little bit in the 50 freestyle. A lot of people were talking about what effect the loss of 50ers will have on the NCAA, and I think maybe some of those sprint events will be the ones that were most affected, but that is, I would say, overall yet to be seen. But I thought, at least in the SEC, some of that C final depth that we had seen in the last couple of years was a little bit lacking.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think ACC is probably a little bit different of a story as what events are deep.
ACC
But
is Sprint Conference.
ACC sprint, too back for ACC to go 139 and possibly miss the A finals, kind of crazy. But I mean, it's sprint freestyle. And I think that the SEC has been sprint freestyle conference since Caleb Dressel ran through. And it's always been the deepest. But I do think that you see more depth. Kind of as of recently in those sprint events.
Yeah, well, let's just jump right into it. And Dez's first note on the ACC is ACC is deep.
ACC is deep. I think I mean on the women's side it's they're obviously the best conference. I don't think it's even close. With Stanford, with Cal, with Louisville, with UVA, those four teams are probably going to be top five teams, top six teams, four of the top six teams, I would assume. Maybe top eight. But like you have a lot of depth on the women's side. I think the men's side showed a lot more depth as well. I mean, you thought NC State was going to win. They're probably looking at a top 5 to 8 finish at NCAAs and they got third place at ACC's, right? You look at a lot of the events and very similar to make A finals and sometimes faster at ACC's than SEC's, which was not the case, I think, in past years. But adding Cal and Stanford and a really, really good Stanford team into that, I think changes that big time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll have to take the stand to defend my Wolfpack here soon, but I'll admit that, yeah, even still, it was ridiculous. It was close, I would, as conference meets goes, on the men's side, being separated by about 200 points across the top three
Yeah.
teams. And I was surprised that Cal was able to get it done, to be honest. I guess they were able to scrap together the points and the pieces that they needed. I'm just interested to see how this translates over, because honestly, I see now, after evaluating this Cal team, as more of a conference prime team rather than an NCAA success focused team. So
They won in a similar way to Texas did SECs, not point wise, but they won one relay. They got placed like top three in a couple other relays, but they only won one relay, and it's hard to win big meets with only one relay win unless you have crazy depth. And they just had a lot of A and B finals in certain
Well, I
events.
mean, they're loaded to the brim with, top 100 recruits, who many of which haven't had, a massive breakthrough, but nonetheless are talented to the point where they would be recruited off of times that would be scoring at conference meets. And so producing just, what they have been able to do in the past gets points on the board regardless, and really it creates this effect where they're just putting points up left and right. So with that, your next note, Des, is Virginia domination. And I'm trying to just figure out which gender you're trying to refer to here.
Definitely not the men. The women dominated. They won by almost 400 points to Stanford, who, again, is probably the second best team in the nation, maybe Texas. But they, again, another team that just has kind of crazy depth. It seemed like, even on some of the relays, it seemed like Todd was kind of just messing around with the relay orders, and they still were just able to win.
Yeah, they can afford to do that. And what's shocking to me is that they, even with losing some of the big dogs that they did lose in last year, was in the 400 free. They broke the NCAA record, as if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe
And
so.
so for them to be able to get that done with the team that they have this year was actually shocking to me, because I didn't actually see that in the cards for them. So
I think you just had a lot of, it seemed like you just had a lot of girls step up. Like Amy Caney going 56 in the 100 breaststroke on a relay was not something I expected. Claire Kirzan broke an NCAA record. Anna Moshe, won the
240,
240 and went
139. Yeah.
under 140. Not something I necessarily expected. Not surprised, but like not something I expected, especially at the beginning of the year. Sarah Curtis looks really good. Like Gretchen part two, she's just seems like she's getting better and better. I don't know. The depth right now is it's pretty insane.
Yeah, no, they continue to answer the questions that have been asked of them. And, we, to name another, Katie Grimes getting under 4 minutes in the 4 IM. I think they had a lot of people who were maybe bubble, a finalist at NC is kind of step up and solidify my feeling that they will for sure be a finalist come NCAAs, assuming that they're able to double up and have the same consistency top to bottom, because that's what I would say for them is just they were super consistent and this did Virginia things.
Yeah.
Now on the men's side, walk me through that, Des.
Overall, you want overall men's side, or what are you looking for
No.
here?
I want you to talk about your Cavaliers.
I thought they looked solid on top. It definitely seemed like someone like Thomas and Maximus and David probably weren't fully rested. I will say Spencer Nicholas, someone you mentioned, was not very impressed with throughout the week. But someone like Jack Akins, it seemed like he really stepped up. 45 low, he was 138 low on the 200 back before he got DQ'd. He was 18s on a couple of relays. He was really, really solid throughout.
He was. I was actually surprised. I've personally been, I mean, call me a hater, I guess. Akins is a long course merchant as far as I'm concerned, but he actually was able to produce some pretty good freestyle splits this weekend. But he ref couldn't get on there 8 free relay, so I'm still holding out on him for that reason.
Yeah,
But
I
I think
mean,
you're
so
right.
far.
I think the Virginia team, like you said, they, I mean, Maximus and Thomas did their thing, but the rest of that class that they had that there was so much hype about just haven't. I think it's going to take another year or two at this point. That's my evaluation is
Yeah, and
there's not everything worked out there, and you
I don't
just
think that
you.
should be surprising though either. Like, you're not. There's only one Maximus and one Thomas. Like, they don't have 10 of them, right? And those are two guys who are just going to translate pretty well into NCAAs. But you look at other big recruits, and sometimes it might take a year. Now, probably should have been faster on some events, but kind of what we expected, I think, where you have 3 to 4 really solid summers, and you just don't have the depth to follow right now.
Yeah, I think you'd be hoping that with a class led by those two kids, you can kind of drag some of the other boys up to a level. And for whatever reason, it didn't pan out. And that's something that they're gonna have to go back and look at come the off season. But just more broadly on the men's side, just to talk about what who Cal really rallied around. Yamoto, which we expected, going 50.3 in the 100 breasts. Evan Petty really stepped up, going 44.2 in the 100 back, which was a very large step forward.
Winning it too, which I
Yeah,
not lane 8, I think.
exactly. And Nathan Wiffen was good in the mile, and beyond that, it just was depth from there. Basically, Ryan Arisman looked good again, and I think that's just. I struggle beyond those. I mean, Evan Petty now is going to be an A finalist if he's able to double up on that. But they're going to be searching for finals far and wide. They got it done in the four med relay, which was impressive.
With
But
two
that's
freshmen on
also,
the relay, by the way.
yeah. So, what are they going to really? Yeah, I don't know. I think NC State's going to move past them at NCAAs. What do you think about that?
Don't know. I think you're gonna have to look at someone like Wiffen to have a really big mile swim and 500. Their 500 freestylers looked really good. They had 2 4-11s, a 4-12, and a 4-15, which is solid. You're going to look at those 4-11s and hope that they can sneak one or two of them into an A final. And Okudoma, you got to bank on him winning the 100 and 200 breast, which is going to be tough. I sent Casey a picture on Instagram today of Okudoma has his goals written on his kickboard. And it says 49.5 and 146.
This guy's on a tear.
He's on a tear. In his interview after his 200 breast, he was like, my coach told me I could go 147 in the 200 breaststroke. So that's, I want to go at least to 147. And you can tell he's like, again, another kid who's just figuring out it as he goes in the short course pool. And it's really working out for him.
So if only if something was that easy, just your coach said that you'd do it. So you just do it.
You just do it. I would not be surprised if he went 147 or faster in NCAAs. But I kind of agree. I think NC State's going to be able to beat them. They have the relay parts to compete in top eight in all of their relays pretty much. And I think that's probably going to put them over Cal. One thing I do want to mention is we talked about the 500 free going into the meet. And you're like, no way that someone who has done this race before and that's not a freshman is going to win the race. Well, there was only one guy who wasn't a freshman that made the A final, and he got fourth.
I don't want to hear it.
Not just trying to shit on Casey here. The future of ACC mid-distance in the 500 freestyle is looking
very young.
Like it's going to be awesome to watch. Again, 7 of 8 dudes that made the A final were freshmen. Like you're going to have those 7 dudes back next year competing for that event again. And the future of the ACC looks really good.
Yeah, I know. It's like that was the perfect example of how young the ACC is in certain areas. And so that's a good sign for them, especially moving forward with, you know, you had, I thought, starting to think that SEC was really just the consolidation of power in the NCAA swimming world, but that's really not the case. So that's good to see. But I do want to just touch on just kind of, you know, the broader performances that kind of stood out to me quickly. AC in the ACC, Max Carlson, you just mentioned, was great. Logan Robinson made it under 139 in the 200 fly. Was extremely impressive to me. Quentin McCarty was under 41 in the 100 free. Brendan Whitfield was under 41 in the 100 free. Those are very legit swims. And Brendan Whitfield continues. He, from my knowledge, was not a recruit that was highly sought after. And made his NCAAs individually last year and then took a whole nother step this year to be under 41 in a whole different realm of swimming.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. One name that stood out for me was Joshua Zukowski. I think you mentioned him, maybe you didn't. Won the 400 IM, had a 7-second drop from his best time, made the A final in the 200 fly, had a 1.5-second drop from his best time, got second on the 200 back, had a 2-second drop from his best time. Just really, really outstanding meet.
It's too bad from my perspective, because he was one of, you know, those. He was, I think, the top ranked recruit out of high school.
Yeah,
top 3 ranked recruit, and really just didn't figure it out quickly or whatever happened there. Maybe there was injuries under it. Who knows? But he did finally break through this year in his senior season and won a conference swim. And who knows what he can do at NCAAs from here. But I'm glad you brought him up, because that was someone who, you know, was a huge name and didn't really live up to that until senior year.
Which is crazy. Another on the women's side, I thought Annalie Hefimova was really good. Gorbenko looks really good. 56.7 from Hefimova, which is very impressive. Gorbenko is just right behind her, 57.0.
Yeah, I was shouting big things for Gorbenko pre-conference. She didn't quite live up to the triple the triple up in her individual events, but still very solid performance. And I would maybe imagine there's still something in the tank. I think she has potential there for. I'll stand by. Triple up at NCAAs now.
Lucy Bell looked really good. I thought that she won the 400 IM, won the 200 breast, got second or third in the 100 breast. Really solid. Tori Husk looked all right. I thought her 100 fly looked really good. 100 free, she got out touched. 100 fly, she was able to win and go 48.2, which is awesome. 200 IM, she won.
151,
But
yeah.
she also DQ'd her 400 medley relay. I thought her relay splits otherwise were pretty solid. But like again, Stanford was a team that almost got beat by Cal, which neither of us thought was going to happen. I think we both thought that Stanford was a shoe-in for second.
Yeah, no, they would, and you mentioned the relay DQ, which I mean is a chunk of points there, but that's still not to say. I mean, we discussed had really high hopes for them early season, and they just haven't been able to put it together, I guess, in the way that a Virginia team has that we had a lot of questions around it. So, in my opinion, the way I see it, Virginia answered those questions and filled in all the pieces they needed, and Stanford just couldn't quite answer what UVA put together there. So.
NC State, I think we both had questions about Bustos and Aiden Hayes and even Quentin.
Bang! Bustos is back.
Bustos is back, won the 200 IM. Quentin McCarty won the 50 and looked really good in the 100 back, 100 free. Got second in both of those. Aiden Hayes won the 100 fly, was pretty solid in the
Looks good.
53.
They
And
won the
then
200 med relay, deked that.
relay. Yep.
I blame them for that. That's how you if you deke your first relay, the team just collapses. So I'm convinced if they hadn't deked, they would have won that relay. They would have won the meet. So I'm just kidding. That's how I go to sleep at night, still feeling okay about my prediction.
You know, one of the biggest misses for me was Florida State looked solid. Like you said, Robinson looked really good. Arkangelski was someone who we didn't really
Okay.
hear from in the meet, and when he won ACCs last year in the 100 back, and he got 19th this year.
Yeah, I think he was someone who didn't have as good of an NCs last year, and so I think they kind of reevaluated, and I would imagine or be going all in, but
That's if you
it
qualify.
is all right. I guess you gotta think about it like that too, but we'll see. I imagine he should be okay, hopefully, for
Let her fly 447,
midseason.
I think,
Yeah,
is
he's
his
good.
best
He should be
shot, and she
good.
should be
Yeah.
good there.
We'll see, I guess. Yeah, that would be, I mean, with qualifying this year, who knows? Let's move on to bigs on the women's side here. I think we saw one big storyline that I personally really stood out to me was Bella Sims, and I think that's the same for you, Des.
Yeah, I mean, she stood out in the way that, like, she's gone faster times in a lot of her events that she swam and won. But I think it was more of the impact she had on her team, the impact she had on relays. And you could really see that. And I think that she also, like you mentioned, you have a good swimmer that hops into a team. Like, can they bring up the others around them? And I think that's exactly what she did because all of the girls around her also stepped up and had phenomenal meet.
I think, I guess that was, you took my take right away, right from me. But yeah, I think someone, a Michigan team that had so many of the pieces and, Stephanie Balducini and Letitia Sim, having a Bella Sims that could basically be on any relay is just ridiculously versatile, really put it all together and gave one more absolutely elite split on relays, event wins across the board. And I think that really pushed them over to win in dominant fashion, basically 200 points over Indiana, who and Ohio State even, 200 points as well. Who Ohio State and Indiana had kind of been trading Big Ten titles, so I'm happy. I enjoyed watching Michigan win. I think we thought it maybe could be closer
Yeah.
than it ended up being.
You were at the meet, right, for one of the days? Anything you
That's
saw that
correct.
stood out to you?
Friday nights watched Bella Sims lose the 100 back to Maggie Wanizak, who had a
Great meet.
Titanic Big Tens going 148 in the 200 back and 49 low
I
in the
was
100
thinking
back.
about it. When was the last time that someone from Wisconsin didn't win both backstrokes?
It's
Because
true.
Phoebe, and then before
They
Phoebe, it
rode
was
Phoebe for the
Bita.
last 5 years.
Bita before that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it takes one swimmer to have, win from win the whole set, and they've had that. And so they did end up, no, they did not, and they won both again this year, right? No,
Yeah,
they did.
Maggie won the 200 back 148.
Yeah. So I guess Wisconsin backstroke dominance continues. But yeah, no, it was fun being at the meet. I thought the energy was good. Yeah, honestly, not much more to write home about there. But yeah, other swims that stood out to you?
I thought it was a good meet. That was a fast meet. I think one of the biggest surprises was we both had USC as very high.
And I
And
mean, there is a reason for that.
Mina Abraham did not swim at the meet. But even without possibly their best swimmer, I thought that they would have done better. Not sure what's happened to Mina. Not sure why she didn't swim. But having someone who is a possible 1 to 2 event winner. Not some at the meet is pretty big.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, but I mean, the rest of the team is talented, but someone who's basically a shoo-in for four of their five relays is going to be a top three performer, probably just about in every individual she swims. I mean, she can basically contribute to like 300 points that they score.
Yeah.
So it's small margins, but it makes a difference overall, and I think they dearly missed her and will. Hopefully it was sickness, something that she can come back from quickly, but that was a very notable name not to be present at the meet.
One thing I will say, you talked about Long Course Merchant earlier. Is Alex Shackle a Long Course Merchant?
Her brother is.
Because she looks solid. She won the 100 fly 49.9, but in the grand scheme of things, a 49.9 is gonna get you 5th to 8th place at NCAAs, maybe like solid swim. Her 200
Yeah.
fly, I thought, was better, 150.7, which is her bread and butter long course, but she lost that.
Yeah, no, it's that's an interesting point, and I mean, I guess with the long course prowess there, I don't know. I guess maybe it's a situation of, we've seen the story play out with her brother going from Cal to Texas to IU. Maybe that's part of it why I'm honestly maybe a little bit more surprised. I don't know. I guess I've seen it, and not to say Alex and her brother are one and the same there, but I don't know. Maybe that's contributing, but it wasn't, shocking to me, I guess.
Yeah,
We'll
that
see.
might
We'll see. And
something.
maybe I also could very well see that the prep is another swimmer here, where the prep is towards NCAAs and not a
Yeah.
Big Ten meet. She's just, sharpening the iron to show up at NCs there. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I am not concerned at this point, based on all the information I've gathered. So women's meet done and dusted. This not tonight we saw the men's Big Ten meet kick off with a Michigan men's team winning the 200 medley relay and the Ohio State Buckeyes winning the 800 freestyle relay in honestly shocking fashion. How did that 800 freestyle relay look to you, Des?
Very fast, man. something that I did
131s
not.
across the board.
Yeah, I did not think they were going to win that race specifically. The 131.7, 131.6, 131.8, 131.4 does not get more consistent than that. It was a really, really close race. Not a close race, sorry. It was a close race for second between Wisconsin and Indiana. And then Michigan rounding out the top four is the only four teams that went under 6:10. But Ohio State, man. Wow.
I was surprised. I mean, that is not actually, you know, they have, I guess, have had surprising, you know, performances in the previous years and relays and individuals. I mean, we know Thomas Navakonis is an elite talent. Tristan Jankovic has, I mean, an elite IMer. I guess really what it took was someone like Cornelius John stepping up. He, traditionally a backstroker, stepped up and gave you 133, 131.6. So that's what
I mean,
it takes.
Last year, sorry, go ahead.
No.
Last year they dominated the sprints, right? So total flip from that, they dominated the 200 free relay. They dominated the 50 freestyle. I think they went 1-2, correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so.
But, right, total 180 flip for OSU. And are you concerned about Indiana not winning a relay on night one?
They didn't look awesome, to be honest. Aaron Shackle, 132.9. It's okay. Owen McDonald, 131. He looks good. Raekwon Noel looked okay. I think they just look okay. I think they look a little flat. Honestly, very surprising swim from Travis Gulledge on the breaststroke split of the two-man relay going 22.6. That's steaming, but the rest of the relay, I would say, looked okay. They have Owen McDonald swimming the fly leg, 20.1. Miroslav Nedla, 20.7. So it's okay, I think. I think just a little flat. They're going to be consistent all the way here, and their depth is unmatched. And so I don't think they need to be winning relays, but I think that is something that they've grown used to. And so, sure, maybe, you know, things are there. Maybe there is worry in the camp, but I just think there's too much depth to make a difference.
Another team that, again, probably commensurable is they're probably going to be faster. They don't really, like you mentioned, with their depth, they don't really need to rest their big dogs a ton to win this meet.
No, they don't. And I think as you look at their NCAA success in previous years, it's been super anchored on their diving, but I think they've struggled to really solidify a lot of finals. And so I foresee their focus this year really being on that piece, is trying to final and a final as many possible swimmers as they can. And I think they had a good enough midseason performance across the team to have solidified a lot of NCAA berths to the point where I think they have the opportunity to really put more focus there. So good night one. Northwestern came away with the podium in the two med relay. That was impressive to me. Wisconsin really stood out in the 8 free, led by Enzo Solitario, going 130.4 as a freshman on their 8-free relay out of nowhere. Truth be told, that one was a stunner for me. I'm excited to watch the rest of this meet play out. I think the Big Ten will be tight, as we talked about, between OSU and Michigan for second. But let's just give some quick predictions for the week.
For me, I think IU's going to win. I think that Michigan's going to get second, and I think that Ohio State's going to get third. I think the real conversation is who's going to get that second and third spot. It's going to be between Michigan and Ohio State. They both won a relay tonight. I think it'll be close. I just think that the Wolverines are going to come out on top.
I mean, if Ohio State swims anywhere near, I guess, what they did were able to produce in that 8-free relay, Michigan might be in trouble, but I'm right there with you. I got Michigan second and Ohio State third, and your Indiana Hoosiers winning the big dance at the Big Ten meet. Good stuff, Dez. It's worth mentioning. We almost didn't include it, but there is the Big 12 and Ivy League championships going on right now. Ivy League meet, I think, is a fun one. There are always some fast swims that come out. There's always talent. You got, Mitchell Schott out of Princeton, big name there. You got Noah Millard from Yale, another big name. So there's always some swims to keep an eye on. 6:09 from Princeton tonight in the 800 free relay will absolutely be in the conversation at NCAAs with that swim. Any other names I'm missing there out of
I mean, those are the two big ones. I think when it comes down to it, we're going to find out a new name at the end of the week. I feel like that always happens. Like Noah Millard last year, awesome swimmer going into the meet, but when he came out of that meet, he was one of the NCAA's top 500 freestylers that no one saw coming. So every year, there's going to be someone coming out of Ivies that you just cannot predict, and I'm excited to see who that is this year.
Yeah, on the side of the Big 12s thing, we'll just say it how it is. ASU first, Arizona second. We don't even need to put in predictions. It's gonna how it's gonna play out on the men's and women's side. Just for context, the ASU men put 7 out of 8 A finalists into the 50 freestyle A final tonight. So that's kind of just, a little bit of how that meet will go, and then
It's telling.
we'll kind of check in on them come NCAA time.
I was a little surprised. They had 7 of the 8, a 50 free, which honestly, again, not surprised by that one. But the other two events today, I believe it was the 200 IM and the 200 free. 200 IM and the 500 free. 200 IM and the 500
Yes.
free. Was a little surprised. They did not have as many final swimmers as I thought, and they looked okay, but that was coming out of prelims. I have not really looked at the finals results yet.
That's a good point that they're almost too heavy in certain areas of their team, and they almost work against themselves in a sense. When you got seven guys who can go under 18, only 16 people can make it back in an event at NCs, and so that's only going to push that cut line down to make it back in general. So they might be a little bit one-sided, but you can't be upset with that kind of depth.
They're gonna have some
And
awesome relays come
yeah,
NCAA,
no,
so
I'm
I'm
excited to
excited
watch.
to
So
talk about.
with that, I think we can call it wraps on this episode. We'll touch base on the ongoing storyline of automatic qualifiers for mid-major conferences in the next episode as we kind of bridge the gap between conference and NCAAs. There's a lot to talk about there. But yeah, anything else to say, Des, before we call it quits on tonight's episode?
Nothing. I got nothing. Excited to watch a couple conference meets this week and give a really big recap on kind of everything and then head to NCAAs. Season's winding down.
Love to hear it. It will be a good one. So with that, thanks for tuning in to this rendition of the DFL Swimming Podcast, and we will catch you
Ish.
in the next one.